Let's go to the book of John. Let's go to book of John, chapter 14. Book of John, chapter 14. Very familiar passage. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word if you can. If you can't, that's okay too. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except but by me. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity once again to be in your house, Lord, to hear your sing, for us to sing praises, to hear praise, and Lord, to give you glory and honor. Lord, we do thank you for those that over the years have spread the gospel. Lord, that has prayed for others to spread the gospel. As the song was saying, to meet the preacher who prayed for the preacher. Lord, we've all been led to the Lord by someone. And Lord, we thank the Lord for that. But we also thank the Lord that there was someone before that person and before that person that continued to do so. And Lord, that we just ask that you would give us, Lord, the burden to continue to do that as well. And we thank you for it. I ask that if there be one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, that, Lord, they would come to know you as Savior. Lord, I ask you to hide me behind thy cross. It has nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. Bring back all the things that I've been studying on all week for this. And, Lord, bring it all back to memory. Give me the boldness to say what I should say. The common sense, Lord, to not say what I shouldn't. And we thank you. And all of these things I pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Did you read the sign out front?
Yes, sir.
That's good. What is truth? Or you could say, who do we trust? Now, the news, it was honestly, the news was designed and it really instituted to inform the public of things that's going on. Important things. I remember as a kid watching Neil Armstrong step out of the Apollo and walk on the moon, and I thought, wow, that's, you know, they were there to inform us of these things. I remember watching things on TV about Vietnam and things of that nature, and all through the years. And I remember 9/11 in 2001, when the World Trade Centers went down. The news was there to give us, and that's why it's there, to give us important information about our nation and honestly about the world. I like to know what's going on across the pond. It may not affect me, but I kind of like to know what's going on. Now, they tell us what we need to know, or what we needed to know. But anymore, honestly, the news isn't that away anymore. They want to bring their own agenda to us. They want to tell us what they want you to go, the route they want you to go, or the route they don't want you to go. They'll sugarcoat it, or they'll add to it, whatever they need to do to make it that much more interesting. They throw lies in there. I remember there was a guy here not too long ago, a few years ago, lying all about how he was getting shot at in helicopters and junk, and come to find out he lied about all of it. And he still got a job. It's not actually with him anymore, but he still got a job reporting the news. It's all a bunch of hogwash of what they do. They use it now more as a propaganda to get you to switch over to this political party or to go to this political party. That ain't what it's supposed to be. They're supposed to inform us of what's going on, whether good or bad. But to be honest with you, they did nothing. And I'm not going to single out any one station, because every one of them is full of hogwash. They're, all of them, they'll give you just a hair of truth, and then they'll fill the rest with lies. And, you know, but just because it's a little white lie, listen, it's still a lie. You know, you look at it, and you, where do you get truth at anymore? You can't find it anywhere. The apostles, they were scared, rightly so. They were confused. They wasn't sure what they were going to do. Jesus told them, He said, listen, you believe in God, believe also in me. He told them, He said, I'm preparing you a place. I'm going to go prepare a place. And He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, that's the only way you're going to come to God. They already knew that. He was just telling them for comfort. He was letting them know. But they knew that whatever came from Him was truth. That's where our 100% truth is, right here. Amen. And none of it's a lie to you. It's all truth. There's some lies in here. I mentioned the other day, there's a donkey in here that talked, and the donkey was a she. It even tells you that. So there's all sorts of stuff in here, but it's the truth that you can count on. You can depend on it. You can't depend on the news. You turn on the news and they spread all sorts of junk. They want you to believe whatever. And let's see. The vaccine will keep you from getting COVID. Well, everybody's got a vaccine getting COVID. Well, the mask will keep you from getting sick. Well, everybody who wears a mask gets sick. Well, a double mask will keep you from getting sick. Everybody who wears a double mask gets sick. I got a nephew that wore a mask. He's got a lot of health problems. He wore a mask when he walked out the front door, double mask, in his car, everywhere he went. Then he got double vaccinated, and he got COVID the other day. Well, it came from Wuhan. No, it didn't. Well, now they proved it did. Well, it did this. No, it didn't. We hear all these lies, and I'll just be up front with you. When I die, if it's from COVID or cancer, I'm going to heaven. Because the Bible tells me so. I ain't worried about their junk. I don't like where it's all going, but hey, I've read the Bible. I know where it's going. And if you think it's going to back up and get as the days of when you were a child, I got news for you. It ain't. It's going downhill, and it's going pretty quick. But the apostles, they were worried. But listen, they knew something. The only truth there is Jesus. The only peace there is Jesus. The only hope that we have is Jesus. And guess what? Jesus is in control of every bit of it. Amen. None of the presidents. President Trump ain't going to come in here and change it. And I hear constantly from all of the, President Trump's going to be reinstated here in about a week. I've been hearing that for how long? I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me. Well, President Biden, bless his heart, he don't have a clue where he's at. Obama's running the country, to be honest with you. That's who's running it all. They give him orders and tell him what to do. And Biden walks out there, blah, 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 and blobbers off something. And listen, his wife ought to be horsewhipped. I done told her, I said, you treat me that way if I get dementia? I said, I'm going to hire somebody to get you. That's just, they're exploiting that poor old man. They need prayers. They really do. We need to pray. Listen, Jesus is in control. Look over here to Colossians. Go to the book of Colossians. It's somewhere after Genesis. You'll find it. Just keep flipping. If you make it to Thessalonians, back up. There it'll be. Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 1, it says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." All things were created by Jesus, and they were all created for Him, by the way. "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." In other words, it all happens because Jesus allows it to happen. Every bit of it does. Nothing goes on that Jesus doesn't know about. And if you read what we just read, if you put it into context, it actually means the church consists every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and whenever else we meet, because of Jesus. It has nothing to do because we just decided, oh, we're going to be good Christians and show up. Listen, it's going to go on anyway. Matthew 16:18 tells us, he says, "Upon this rock, Peter," and he pointed to himself, he said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Do you really realize what that word means? In other words, it won't be overpowered. There ain't enough power on this earth to stop the Lord's church. Not enough. It doesn't happen every day just because I show up. It doesn't happen because you show up. Church is going to go on whether you're here or not, whether you agree or not. Church is going to happen. The Lord said it will, and it will continue. It has ever since He started it, and it will not quit. Amen. Hell can't overpower it. Go back and read who created all that stuff. Who created the devil? Jesus. Amen. Who created all the little minions that the devil has? Jesus. Who created hell? Jesus. And it's going to overpower him? Really? No, it ain't going to happen. It's never going to take place. You know, I used to think it was kind of like me. I told my son on more occasions than once. I said, "Look, I brought you in this world. I'll take you out." But guess what? He got strong enough and big enough. I ain't sure I can handle it. It ain't that way with God. God created it and it's there. And when He's done with it, it'll quit. But it ain't going to overpower Him. You know, Jesus said, he told Joshua over there in the book of Joshua. He said, "Listen, Moses is dead." He said, "You're going to take his spot." He said, "I'll be with you. Don't worry about it." He said, "Live, do what I tell you to do. You go out and take the people across the Jordan, go down there, kick the hind end of the Jerichoans or whatever they are, whip them. I've got it all under control." Everywhere, by the way, Joshua, that you walk is holy ground. Really, that's what he's told the church. He said, "Listen, all power's been given to me. I've got it all." That's what Jesus tells them. It's all under control. It all consists because of me. And that's true. Look, Hebrews 13:5. He tells them, he said, "I'll never forsake you, never leave you." He says, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the same Jesus that created it all. The same Jesus that talked with Moses. The same Jesus that helped Joshua. And He's the same Jesus that's going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what's going on. God's in control. Listen, COVID didn't catch Him off guard. He wasn't up there, "Whoa, how'd that happen?" No, he knew it. Because of Him, all of these things take place. If He didn't want it to take place, it wouldn't take place. So He's all the truth there is. All the truths in the Word. We're children of light. We're not children of darkness. Amen. We know what's going on, some of us. If you read the Word of God, you know what's going on. If you read the Word of God, you know where it's going to go to, and you know what's going to happen. It's real simple, but Peter tells you about it. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, Will Rogers, I like Will Rogers. I like a lot of his sayings. Will Rogers said, everybody's ignorant. Only on different subjects. I could sit here this morning and I could tell you all about ring bone, navicular, pop knee, stifled hocks. I could tell you all about that. It's about horses. But there's a lot of people in here be like, what? You're ignorant. But it's only because it's that subject you're ignorant in. You might could tell me all about it. Depends on if any brain surgeons here today. Tony tells me stuff about the wiring and junk upstairs in the attic. I ain't got a clue. And he'll go through all these things and I'm like, amen. Because I have no idea. But he knows all about it. I'm ignorant with that subject. Don't have a clue. And I like Will Rogers. He said, it covers everything. He was just a simple guy. 2 Peter chapter 3 said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, you know, how important is it for Christians to understand God's truths today? It's one thing for us to watch the news and say, well, I'm going to lean toward this one, but I don't know about this one. I'm going to listen to Tucker Carlson because I think he's pretty much on the level. Don't forget he's got a big paycheck. And by the way, that's one thing I like about him. He tells his viewers, I'm rich. And he is. The man makes big money. And I do listen to him because I think he has a lot of good info. But he's just like all the rest of them. He's going to tell you what they say, and he's not going to tell you what they don't want you to say because they give him a paycheck every Friday. And some guy from Fox News signs it, and he wants to keep that paycheck going. Listen, this right here will tell you the truth, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not. It's the truth. In the last days, he said, there's going to be scoffers. We need to understand that in the last days, there's going to be people that just refuse to accept what the Word of God says. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to accept it. Way back yonder, they didn't want to accept who God was. But guess what? God was still God. It didn't change it whether they didn't like it or not. You see, we need to understand that today we're going to be surrounded by scoffers. We're going to be surrounded by people who refuse to take the Word of God seriously. Ain't much we can do about it. Paul stated in Corinthians, he said, if a man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And I have to agree with him. I'm not going to argue with somebody. If somebody tells me, well, I just don't believe that Adam, a rib was taken from his side to create Eve. Well, that's your problem, not mine. You want to be wrong? Fine. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm not going to go that route because, listen, I read the Word of God. You could take somebody, it's been said, you could put them on an island with no way of any kind of communications, give them the Word of God, they know more about what's going on in the world than you who sit and watch TV. And that's true. Because you can see it. We see it all around us. It's getting more and more. Now, Peter gives us three main things here. One, he wants us to understand that the Word of God is true. The Word of God is the truth. It's the only truth. There's nothing out there that you can depend on like the Word of God. It is true. If it says it, believe it. If it says it's going to happen, believe it. If it says it happened, check it out. It happened. Oh, Jericho. Jericho was not where the Bible said it was supposed to be. Therefore, the walls really didn't fall down flat because we couldn't even find Jericho. And come to find out, the English lady that was an archaeologist, she made a mathematical error of one number, changed everything, and a guy discovered that. He went back, he done all his figures, walked right up to where it was at. He said, that's where Jericho was. Oh, that's what the Bible said. Oh, imagine that. Well, they walked over on flat ground, the Bible says. Well, they couldn't have because the walls fell down. They done the excavating and they found out the ground opened up and the walls went down and they walked over on flat ground. Pretty amazing, wasn't it? I didn't need that to know it because I know that God doesn't lie to me.
Amen.
But they needed to understand that. The crossing of the Red Sea. Well, they crossed on a sandbar. I've been on sandbars and your feet get wet.
Amen.
According to the Word of God, they walked across on dry ground. Dry ground, in my opinion, is dry. It's kind of like Indian weather rock. You ever seen one? They're neat. They don't lie to you. You put it outside. If it's dry, it ain't raining. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's white, it's got snow on it. It's that simple. But they, you know, I don't know. People are, but I can read the Bible and it tells me, do you know that not too many years ago they found chariot wheels and Egyptian soldier armor in the Red Sea? Oh, somebody just threw it out there, I guess. I don't. No, it's because that's where they crossed that, on dry ground. But here's the key to all that. Verse 5. For this they're willingly ignorant. You see, there's people that are ignorant. Like Will Rogers said. There's folks that's ignorant. There's lots of reasons for being ignorant. I wrote some of these down, but there's lots of reasons for people being ignorant. But you see, the reason most folk are ignorant in the Word of God is they choose to be ignorant. Some people are ignorant for lack of education. Some people are ignorant for lack of being able to get education. But then there's those that are ignorant because they choose to be ignorant. That's kind of dumb. I don't want to choose to be ignorant, but there's people that do. You see, there's two events that Peter talks about. Now, he says, for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. In other words, when God created the world, if you look at it and read it, it was in water and He separated it. But then He brought judgment and He flooded the earth. Hello. It's not hard to see. But they try to dissect it and you get your theologians in there and they try to prove this and they try to prove that. And listen, He plainly states about it. And then he goes on and he says, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Guess what? Everybody's got this idea. Well, we're going to be destroyed by a nuclear war because the world's going to burn up.
Bible said so. I agree with the world's going to burn up. If you study all of what makes up the world, the earth, it'll burn. But God ain't going to depend on some Fruit Loop to mash a button. To take care of sinful man. God didn't depend on... When He told Noah, He said, Noah, build the ark. And then some guy built this huge dam, and they dammed up all the water, and then somebody went up there with a chisel and a hammer and split it until it cracked open and flooded the whole earth. No, God caused it to do that. God's going to cause this earth one of these days to burn up. And it's going to go away, and that's the way it works. God's not going to use man to do what He's got to do. He's got to punish sinful man. And so one of these days, it's all going to burn up. It really is. It's going to go away. The Bible says so. But that day ain't here yet. Because He goes on, He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. Do you know how many people have spent years and years studying that? What's that mean? Oh, there's a special meaning behind that. No, it ain't. It's a real simple meaning. God doesn't live in time. God created time. 1,000 years to God is like a day. A day is 1,000 years. It's no big issue to Him. His thought pattern, I couldn't even handle. Just 1 millisecond of His thought would explode my mind, I'm sure. There is no real special meaning in that, except for God is merciful.
Amen.
Aren't you glad He is?
Amen.
There's still a lot of people on this earth that need to get saved.
Amen.
There's still a lot of people on this earth that are saved that need to get it right before Jesus comes back.
Amen.
So you won't be ashamed at His appearing according to 2 John. We've got a lot of things to change. He tells it plain as day. He says, the Lord is not slack, verse 9, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah. Amen.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Oh, stop. Now, this is what most people do. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away and with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, I just read the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Wait a minute. How many days are there of the Lord? There's actually quite a few. There's the rapture. There's the judgment of all the nations, which is going to be at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And then there's another one after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But I'm not the smartest person in English. Language, English wasn't my prime subject. Fishing was. Hunting was. Riding horses was. That's what I majored in. I wanted to be a professional beach bum, but then I met my wife and that changed. It don't take a lot to be a beach bum. You just walk around out there in little sandals and some shorts and you pick up seashells and chase a little crab. But I've been in English, but I didn't get it all. Let me go back up now. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, semicolon. I'm like, what's a semicolon? I thought that was an issue that you had internally. No, it's not. They have a colon and they have a semicolon. It has nothing to do with the human body. I'm like, well... Semicolon actually means it's a complete sentence there because it continues on, but it joins two
independent thoughts.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what it is. So guess what? You got to put it in context of who, what, when, where, why, and how, and whatever else you can add in there. Who was he talking to? What was he telling them? How come he was telling them this? I've told people, when you read the Bible, if you really want it to come alive in your life, what did it mean back then? What does it mean now? And what does it mean to you personally? You got to remember all of that. But you got to put it in context. Who was Peter talking to? He was talking to scattered Jews. But what was he talking about? He was talking about these idiots out here that are willingly ignorant. They're not the smart ones. They're the willingly ignorant ones. That's called an egghead. They're educated beyond their own intelligence. Because they think they know it all and they don't have to study nothing else. This is what he told them. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Wait a minute. The rapture. That ain't the rapture.
Amen.
That is when the Lord shows back up at the end of 7 years.
Amen.
You see, the rapture happens. It's a thief in the night. We don't know when it may happen. It may happen today.
Amen.
Praise God if it does. That would be really good. Poof, we're gone. What, that'd be outstanding. This passage, he's talking to Christians about lost people that are willingly ignorant. He said, look, the day of the Lord's going to show up to them as a thief in the night. Because I'll be honest with you, if you read Matthew chapter 24, if the rapture happened today, and you're sitting in church tomorrow, and you're reading a Bible, and you start reading Matthew 24, you can figure out when the Lord is coming back. That's called not being willingly ignorant. That's called studying. Whether anybody will, I don't know. But you could just about figure out it wouldn't be a thief in the night. It really wouldn't. But to those that are willingly ignorant, which is all these nations that are going to come against Israel at the end of 7 years, they're going to come against Israel and they're going to come to attack, and all of a sudden, boom, Jesus is going to show up, guess who's going to be with him? I am. I'm going to be led up on a horse. I don't know how he's going to get here. I don't know if they can fly or what, but we'll see. But guess what? That's who he's talking about. He's talking about the willingly ignorant people that are going to come against Israel because the saved will be gone. We're going to come back and it's going to be a judgment of the nation. Now, the second thought that's in that sentence that's independent of what he said, heaven and earth gonna burn up. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought there was 1,000 years in there somewhere. Jesus gonna reign on the cross, on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Where is that in there? It ain't in there. The Bible done lied. No, the Bible don't lie. The Word of God's true. He says, the day of the Lord is gonna come as a thief in the night. Stop. In the same sentence, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, comma. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So he says, hey, guys, the Lord's going to come back to these people as a thief in the night. You're a child of the light. You know that because you can read it. You know there's going to be a rapture. We don't know when it's going to happen. But it's going to happen. Boo! We're out of here like a rocket. We're going to go up there and be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not for your sins, but it's going to be for what you did or didn't do for the Lord. And then there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb, which is over in Revelation 19. There's a lot of study that goes into that. And then The Lord's going to turn around and bring His bride back with Him that day. That's at the end of the 7 year when all of these people, they come to the battle of Armageddon, and they're coming and they're going to destroy Israel, and the devil's out. We got them now. And then they're going to say, uh-oh. They didn't plan on that. We already knew it. But we're going to be with Him. On the way back, looking at all the... You ever seen those faces on somebody, that deer in the headlight look, you know? It's like, oh, that's what you're going to see. All these guys are going to be like, whoa, what is that? And He's going to end the problem. He's going to take His reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and He's going to take His church, the bride, and He's going to place them wherever, doing whatever He wants you to do. Maybe ruling cities, maybe ruling nations, who knows? He's got a lot of judgments going on. There's going to be a lot of people punished during that time. Believe it or not, He ain't coming as the little babe in the manger. Oh, He's so precious. No, He's coming as a roaring lion. He's coming with a rod of iron to deal with all of what's been going on. You see how they treat Israel? Listen, we're about that far from turning our back on Israel. The day that America turns its back on Israel, you better buckle up, because if we ain't been raptured, we're in big trouble. You don't turn your back on Israel. I don't like what took place, but they didn't do it. Jesus did it. The Jews did not hang Jesus on the cross. The Romans did not hang Jesus on the cross. He done it for love for you. Don't hold it against none of them. What did Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. They had no clue what they were doing. If they had the devil would have stopped. He just said, whoa, 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 whoa. Give him a crown, let him reign. He wouldn't have wanted them to do, not if he had known what was coming. So, we see that all of this takes place. Aren't you glad that 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years? The Lord is long-suffering. Why hasn't He come back? I'm glad He hadn't. Because I've got some loved ones and some friends that ain't got a clue whether they're going to heaven or not. Every single day that the Lord waits, somebody gets their heart right with the Lord, whether it's through salvation or whether it's they rededicate and say, you know, I've been wrong. Amen. I hadn't been living the way I ought to as a Christian. Every day that He waits, every minute that He waits, it's good. Amen. We can't hold it against Him. Because it's just that long suffering that the Lord's waiting. So He says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Seeing then that all of our fancy homes or cars or who polishes on their cars? I do. I like it. I don't look like it, but since I need a paint job, I don't much anymore. But before that, man, I'd polish my rims. I want them looking good, you know. When I had my Peterbilt, boy, I'd spend hours out there polishing up the chrome so California would leave me alone. Because you cross the border, if you got a dirty truck, they're going to pull you in.
That's right.
But I wanted it to look sharp. All of it's going to burn up. Every bit of it's going to be gone. All the fancy homes are going to be gone. All the fancy clothing that we like. My hat that my kids got me, I like my hat. It's handmade in Texas. Nobody put it on their head until I went like this. I like it, but it's going to burn up. It ain't going to heaven with me. It's going to stay here. Some fruit will be down here wearing it. And I don't know what all he'll do with it, but he will. Some guy will break in my house one day. Listen, I'm not going to be here. None of that junk I got at the house is going. He says, so seeing that, what manner of persons ought we to be? And I like the way he put it. Holy conversation. If you look that up, it really means holy walk. in your Christian walk, every not just what you're talking about, but your life as a Christian, what manner should it be? And godliness. And then he said in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Listen, one of these days, we've got a rapture that's got to happen, then we've got a 7-year tribulation period that's got to happen, then we got a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then they're going to turn the devil loose for just a little season. After Jesus has been reigning on the throne of David, and there's still people going to come together to try to destroy Israel again. And God's going to intervene, and he's going to put a stop to it. And then all that will take place. The heavens will burn, the earth will burn, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. See, I look forward to the rapture. The rapture, that's a cool day. But I ain't going to heaven. It never says that. It says you're going to meet the Lord in the air. A-I-R, air. We're going to go there, and then we got a judgment seat. When we're done with the judgment seat, I ain't sure where it's going to happen, but there's going to be the supper of the Lamb. Then we're coming back to the earth for 1,000 years. Then the next war, which is Gog and Magog, will happen, and it's going to end like now. God's going to, and it's going to end right then and there. And then guess what will happen? We'll see a new Jerusalem, and there will be a new earth because the old one's going to be burnt up. And we're not going to just sit on a cloud up there and say, ain't that a cool looking earth? No, we're going to get to live on it. We're going to get to be in the new Jerusalem, but we're going to get to come down the earth. I think it's going to be like the Garden of Eden. That's what it was designed for. The Bible, when you study the Word of God, it starts letting you know these things, and you start realizing, wait a minute, there's a lot of things in here I didn't know. So I always thought when I was a kid, well, we're going to get raptured out of here and the Lord will change me and I won't mind sitting in church all day. Because I was thinking, we're just going to go up there and sit in church all day? Forever? That ain't what it says. We're gonna go serve the Lord. Serve the Lord doing what? Sitting there? No, we're going to take care of the new heaven and the new earth. What else is there to do? That's what we're going to do. Now, it'll be pretty cool because we'll be able to walk through the wall and never have to open the door. Sit down and eat fish. But hopefully a ribeye. Medium rare. But maybe he'll change my taste buds. We'll be able to think about it and boom, you'll be there. You know, I've often wondered how that is, but if you read about Philip was in this spot and then all of a sudden, boom, he was over here, miles and miles away. How'd that happen? That's going to be kind of the way we are. Jesus, there was nobody in the room with the apostles, and all of a sudden there stands Jesus. It's like, wait a minute, you didn't knock. No. That we'll be in a glorified state. Amen? That'll be good when we get there. Wherefore, beloved, verse 14, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. There again. I looked up the word diligent. I had an idea. But I looked up the word diligent. Constant in effort to accomplish something. Persistent, attentive. In other words, listen, we are supposed to be constant in what we're doing. What are we doing? Studying the Word of God, prayer time, devotion time, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because whether they like it or not, He's coming back. And whether they like it or not, all of this junk that they think is so great is going to burn up. It's going to be gone one day. We need to be telling them about all these careers that we so diligently seek and go get. In heaven, ain't going to be nothing. Brain surgeon? They ain't going to need a brain surgeon. Orthopedic surgeon? You ain't going to need it. All of that. I got this arthritis that's really bothering me. I ain't going to have it. Be gone. I ain't got to worry about that. But our loved ones, those that we cherish most, do they know the Lord? Do they see it in your life? In the life you live? Because if they don't, shame on you. They ought to see it in our lives, and they ought to say, I want what you've got. That's exactly what they want. They need to see that to really want it. If they don't see a difference in your life, anybody out here, why would they want what you've got? They wouldn't. They need to see it in our lives. We need to be consistent with it. We need to be persistent with it. We need to be attentive with what's going on in our surroundings. And we need to act like Christians are supposed to act.
Amen.
You go in a restaurant and they bring your food out and it ain't worth a flip. How do you treat the waitress or the waiter? Do you know that counts? They ain't hardly a restaurant I'd go in, and I'm not bragging, but they ain't hardly a restaurant I'd go in, and you can ask people, they don't know who I am, and they say, oh, Pastor Jim, right over here. And you want me to tell you one reason? I've never complained. When they didn't bring me coffee that I paid for, I never said a word. I'm sitting there in Denny's one night, and Gabby, he said, you guys want some coffee? I said, yeah, man, some decaf would be good. 30 minutes later, I still ain't got it. I never said a word to him. He'd been up to the table 3 different times and talked with me. I just left it alone. When I paid for the bill, it was on there, $2 and something for a cup of coffee. Do you know now when I go to Denny's, 99% of the time, they never charge me not for one cup. And they'll even ask me, hey, would you pray for so-and-so for me?
Amen.
I can't get them to come to church. But hopefully they'll see one day that, listen, I want what they've got. That group of people that come with them, I want what they've got. And maybe they'll get saved. He said, account, verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Look, I want the Lord to come back. I really do. I get fed up with what's going on in our world. I don't like what I see. I don't like where it's heading. I don't like people telling me you've got to do this and you've got to do that. I've always had a problem with that. I figured out if you're nicer to cops, because one just laughed at me, I usually get out of a ticket. Yeah, I never liked being told what to do. That's what they're trying to do now. Well, hey, it's probably going to get worse. They're probably going to force you to do a lot of things that we don't want to do. But guess what? For one, you need to remember, God's in control.
Amen.
Yeah. He is. He's got it all under control. And He'll give you what you need when it all comes down to it. If He gave me all of what I need right now, you guys couldn't even come around me. Because I wouldn't know how to handle it. It all go to your head. My hat wouldn't fit no more either. He'll give it to you as you need it. And He's got it under control. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
But whenever we look at the news, and we look at this, where's the truth at? The truth's right here. Right here in the Word of God, that's where the truth is. We can't half believe what they say otherwise. When I was a kid, they used to tell me, and say, how did it go? Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. And it's getting more and more that away now. It's like, are you kidding me? But I know who's in control, and I know where I'm going. And I want a lot of people to go with me.
So what's our job? We're to be consistent at telling others about the Lord, living that life that they'll say, I want. Amen. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come, we'll have an invitation.